Welcome to Coaster Track, a UK theme park podcast in association with Scare Track. That's right, yes, another one of those theme park podcasts. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Coaster Track, Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's begin the show.
You're listening to Coaster Track, a UK theme park podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Coaster Track podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Scott Bickerton from Pleasure Beach Experience. But before we go into that interview, first of all, thank you so much for sticking with the Scare Track podcast whilst we went on our hiatus. Obviously, we've done 13 days of Scare Track and Coaster Track and we're almost towards the end of that. Obviously, a lot of that stuff was recorded whilst we were on our break, so the last few episodes that have gone out, you can understand it might be a little bit out of date when it comes to the whole coronavirus thing. We haven't really spoke about that much at all on the podcast so far. This episode with Scott was recorded a little while ago, but we have only just started editing, which is why I can now talk about the coronavirus and what position we are in. This is getting edited on the 23rd of March 2020, and we obviously mentioned coronavirus in the interview, but we didn't know to what extent it's going to be affecting our lives as of now. Right now, myself and Hannah are both in isolation because both our works are closed, forced closure by the government. Never something I thought I'd be saying here on a Coaster Track or Scare Track podcast. But throughout this interview, when we're talking about plans for the opening days in this season, please do take into account that myself and Scott were talking a week or two ago now. So, yeah, keep that in mind. We are not going to be talking much about COVID-19 at all here on the podcast. We will, obviously, if it comes up in conversation, but because a lot of us are at home, and if you're not at home, key workers, people working in shops, the NHS, absolutely everything, thank you so much for what you're doing. You're really helping us out through these dark times, which I think are going to get just that little bit darker before we see the light at the end of the tunnel. But the light is there, and it will get brighter each and every day, and we'll look back on this, and we'll all be happy. We'll all go to the park. We'll all go to screen parks, we'll all have a scare, we'll all have a roller coaster. Things will get better, providing I have a job to go back to, fingers crossed. Otherwise, you're going to be hearing a lot more from me here on Coaster Track and Scare Track, which brings me to my next point. This is almost one of the last episodes that we planned in our big comeback, which was the thunder was totally stolen by COVID-19, by the way. What? Our first comeback video got like 3,000 views, and our second one got a lot less purely because of this blooming coronavirus. So not only has coronavirus stolen my thunder, it's now took my job, and you're going to hear me talking a hell of a lot more because we want to do loads to make people happy, to keep the positivity, and to keep us sane, really. It's been great. We had the Cupcakes and Coasters do their quiz. We had the Scare Tour pub quiz as well. Tonight, I'm going to be watching Trixie from Warsaw Scare Maze do his drag act on a Facebook Live platform. Loads more stuff, lots of podcasts, lots of people doing videos from home. This is the time for the whole community to come together. We've brought you quite a few collaborations with this comeback series here at Scare Track, and I think we can just continue that for as long as possible. But anyway, without any further ado, let's take you to this episode's interview with Scott from Pleasure Beach Experience.
You're listening to the Coaster Track podcast.
Hi guys, and welcome back to this episode of Coaster Track. Like I said in the intro, I'm here with Scott Bickerton from Pleasure Beach Experience. Scott, how's it going?
All good, all good. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. It's great to have you on. So first of all, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on to the Scare Track, well, Coaster Track podcast. You just said to me now you're editing a video, so I guess it's all systems go when it comes to the parks eventually opening.
Yeah, definitely. You go through that phase where you're full on, it gets to November, and then there's just nothing other than, for me, Pleasure Beach updates and the odd trip to Spain for Port Aventura. We get to February, all the coasters start testing at Pleasure Beach, so that keeps me busy, and especially this year with a big one, Retrack, and then
course,
we get
yeah.
to opening day, and everyone does a vlog. So it's good to see, because obviously it's nice for me to see Pleasure Beach get so much coverage, but then we get back to this point again where we go, well, nothing's happening until the Merlin Park's open. So that's why this year we decided to go to Siam Park in Tenerife. We thought we'll do something different.
Yeah,
and oh, it was amazing.
Oh, you know what? I've been, but the last time was like 9 years ago, so that I know they've got a few new slides since then. It is an amazing water park, isn't it? One of the best in the world.
I absolutely loved it. It's the first time I've ever been, and I am going to make it an annual thing, I think. It was just,
oh, nice.
I mean, 30 degrees as well. 30 degrees
nice
in
weather.
March.
Yeah, you can't beat that in Tenerife, can you?
No, it was just a bit cold when we got back to Manchester at midnight.
Oh, yeah, I bet. That can't be nice. Especially with coming back home to coronavirus palaver and to obviously cold weather. But, you know, this episode is going to be going out in, you know, a week or two from recording. So we just don't know what's going to happen there. So
no,
we'll listen back.
Around the time Thorpe's opening then. So it'll be interesting to... Or Towers. I don't know what day it is.
I'm not too sure, actually.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, within the next week or so. We'll see what's happening moving forwards there. We'll have to wait and find out. But let's talk about some good stuff. Let's keep it positive here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, first of all, obviously, you know, everyone knows that you're behind Pleasure Beach Experience. But before we talk about PBE, let's talk about yourself years and years ago when, I'm guessing it was a childhood that you got into theme parks and roller coasters, or was it a little bit later on?
It was early teens, really, because my parents used to take me to Blackpool Pleasure Beach almost all the time, because we've got relatives that live in Blackpool, and we used to go up to see them, and it was back in the time where Pleasure Beach was free entry, so we could go up there at, say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday, and you knew full well Pleasure Beach would be open till 1, 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
We used to go probably in the evening, even if we used to go for like an hour or two. And then it got a bit more exciting when Big One opened. I vaguely remember that. But I was an absolute wimp. I would not go on anything. It was only when I started playing on Roller Coaster Tycoon that I thought, do you know what? I could probably go on some of these rides. And I broke myself into it with Roller Coaster and Grand National.
Mm-hmm.
And then just slowly built my way up from there. And eventually I did the Big One in the early 2000s, which... For a lot of people, that's probably a surprise because I've been going for a long time. But I was just terrified of it.
Yeah.
And then one day it was just, let's do it. And it just happened.
That sounds very similar to me with, Orton Towers was my home park. So I was terrified on going on absolutely everything. And then the same thing as you. Just one day it was like, let's just do it. And then it's like opening a can of worms, isn't it? Then you just get hooked.
Well, that's the thing because for me, I'd been to Alton Towers, I think, once or twice by the time I started going on everything at Pleasure Beach.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually go to Alton Towers until 2001.
Oh, okay.
Which, when you consider that I only live 30 miles away from Towers, is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
I just wasn't interested. And the first time I went, I absolutely hated it because I remember going home and going, it's not Pleasure Beach, it's just not what I'm used to.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like it. And it took me a long time to get into Towers. I like it now. I appreciate it a lot more than I used to. I think what changed it a little bit was working there.
Yeah, I bet. Absolutely.
I wanted to work on coasters or rides, but I knew that Pleasure Beach was too far from home to do it. So Towers was the closest thing. And I gave it a go. It took 3 attempts to get in there because the first one was it's too close to the end of the season.
Right.
Second one was... I couldn't work like 5 days a week because I was in college. So they said, you can come back well, you can come in, but you'll have to wait until you finish college. So I had to wait until like August time, and then finally started at the end of the 2007 season and did a full season in 2008.
Right. Okay. So you've obviously you've worked on them as well as obviously being enthusiastic of them. And you reckon that working there probably affected your love for it a little bit, because you see the behind the scenes stuff, don't you?
A little bit. Yeah. I probably started to appreciate Towers a bit more. Not because of what they were, but more because I just felt a bit more attached to the place.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
But it also weirdly made me appreciate Pleasure Beach a bit more as well, because I wasn't all of a sudden going there going, oh, the ride ops are doing this, that, or the other. All of a sudden you had a bit more of an appreciation for why they might not be doing things that you would perhaps see them doing on other days, you know. Say, right. For example, Big One might be on two trains one day, and then the next time you go, it might be on one. Mm-hmm. Before working on Rise, I had no sort of appreciation. I was just like, oh, the staff are being lazy. But right. When you've worked on Rise and you've realised that's not the case, you sort of go, oh, yeah, well, it's on one train for this reason or for that reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I was only a teenager, so a lot of people probably still think the same when you see rides on low capacity. You just think, oh, they can't be arsed today. And sometimes it's things that you just don't know until you've heard it from someone who works there, or you work on a ride that you just never really know what's going on until you see it from the other side as well. And it's a difficult one, because we all get frustrated with rides being on low capacity, but sometimes you just have to sort of suck it up, don't you, and go with it.
Yeah, oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. And like you say, it, you know, most of the time it is for a legit reason, you know. If a train is too slow round a track, or if it's too fast round a track, or, you know, there's loads of things behind the scenes that, yeah, people, even enthusiasts like us, seem to be even more critical of. we should be the ones that are more understanding of these things, but we can be more critical of it. So you make a good point there. So what was your first big coaster was the Big One?
Yeah.
That's quite a big coaster.
Yeah. I mean, the Grand National was probably scarier at the time I expected the Big One to be a lot more scary than it was.
Right, okay.
I did all the Woodies first, and I remember doing the Big Dipper, and I remember thinking, this can't be much different to the Big One in terms of the Big One must just be a bigger version of this.
Right.
And that was how I pushed myself to go on it, because I thought, it's just Big Dipper, but big.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I ended up loving it a lot more than I expected, because I remember at the time thinking, I'll do it once and I'll probably never do it again. And it's thousands of times now.
I was going to say,
I've lost count.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely get the hook. And like you say, even though we're closer to Towers, Pleasure Beach was more so a park that meant more to you. And I guess it's been cool to see it grow, obviously, over the years when you started Pleasure Beach Experience as well. How did PBE actually start? And in case anyone's listening to the podcast, it's doubtful, because I'm guessing that most people that listen to Coaster Track and Scare Track obviously know PBE, but if you were to describe PBE in a nutshell, what would it be and how did it start? What were its origins?
So it started in quite controversial circumstances, because I used to be involved with a group called the Blackpool Pleasure Beach Guide, and I was the second vice captain, you could say, of the team. And then one morning I woke up and got a message off the guy who ran it and said, sorry, I've changed my mind. This was after 6 years. I've kicked you off the team with like no explanation. I was just like, oh nice. Okay, what am I going to do now? I've kind of like lost what I've been doing for years after getting back from a visit, going straight on, posting things about the day. And I was like, where am I going to do that now? Because I thought, I'm on Coaster Force, but they're not dedicated to Pleasure Beach. I can't do it on the Towers website. So I was like, well, what am I going to do? And then a couple of people were like, well, why don't you start your own? I was like, oh, I don't know if I've got the time. And so go on then, we'll just do it, see how it goes. And I sat there for about 3 hours going, what are we going to call this? What are we going to call it? We can't call it the Pleasure Beach Guide, because that already exists. And then went for a wander around the house and found a VHS called Pleasure Beach Experience, which was a video that they did in the 90s about the Pleasure Beach. And I thought, I think we'll call it that. And that was how it started. And to be honest, it didn't start off as anything serious. It was just, this is a fan forum for Pleasure Beach fans. And it wasn't really something we took seriously. We just used to go on there, moan, take the mickey out of towers, criticise other parks. And we got a bit of a bad rep for it, for being like pro Pleasure Beach and anti-everything
else. Slightly biased.
And looking back, I look back on it and go, I actually really regret that.
Yeah.
Because I can still understand these days why people might still think when they see the name, oh, it's them who hate everywhere else but Pleasure Beach, which is obviously not the case. But back then, we were young, we were stupid, we didn't think of the consequences of slagging off other parks that weren't Pleasure Beach. And yeah, I regret it, but as we got more sort of used to running it, we started to build a relationship with Pleasure Beach where they knew that their club Pleasure Beach was coming to an end, and we were sort of getting to grips with social media, with running Facebook for PB and stuff, and it was a bit of a convenience marriage of one club that was dying and a new one that was starting, really. And Pleasure Beach came to me with the owner of the time of Club Pleasure Beach, and they said, do you want to take over Club Pleasure Beach? And I remember thinking, me, run Club Pleasure Beach? I won't be able to do that. Yeah. But here we are, 8 years later, still doing it. And I started PBE in 2009. Funnily enough, then nearly got a job at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, which would have ended PBE right there.
Yeah.
And then I decided, no, I'd rather stick with what I'm doing with the job I'd got at the time and carry on with PBE.
Oh, fair.
And then 2012, we took over Club Pleasure Beach.
Nice. Blimey, so it's
been fun.
Yeah, it's definitely got a bit of history there, you know, in the time you've been with it. And I suppose it's the case for a lot of us and content creators and groups and clubs and forums and whatnot. As you mentioned, there's a few mistakes like years and years ago when you were young. We all make mistakes. So Scaretrack have made a couple of mistakes and people know that too. So I think it only makes you bigger, better, stronger for the future. And now PBE is going really, really strong. Like the vlogs, the content, the updates, obviously the groups, holiday things that you organise as well. What kind of stuff can people expect if they're going to be checking out your stuff, from terms of vlogs all the way up to going out on trips?
So it's going to be a pretty busy year in terms of content on the channel. Of course, at the minute, it's a little bit quiet with waiting for the UK parks to all open up. And I don't want to do a Pleasure Beach vlog every week. I think people get bored of it. I'd get bored of doing it. To be fair, we did attempt one about 2 weeks ago and we just got halfway through it and went, this is rubbish, we're not doing this. So I just decided against it. But in terms of events, we, like, say at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, as an example, in May, we've got Icon for hire. We've got the big one hired. Sweet. The Grand National, the Ghost Train hired. A lot of times we get asked, do we have to pay for this if we got a season pass? Unfortunately, all season pass holders do have to pay for it, but it's because it's an out-of-hours event.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're paying to go in the Pleasure Beach for a second time. It's an out-of-hours event, so it happens either before or after the Pleasure Beach is open.
Right, okay.
But we're also doing a couple of those at Alton Towers as well. But long-term, we're currently planning our biggest ever event, which will take place in June of next year, which will be over 8 days in America.
Wow, now that's a big trip.
Keeping me up night and day.
I bet.
Because I've got to look at like hotels, group transportation, work things out with the parks. But it's fun. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay, great.
I'm spending a lot of time with Mark and Mike doing it, where we're going, well, we could stay at this hotel, we could go there, we could do this. We've got all the parks and everything in place. Mm. It's just finding the right hotels and the right places, because in some cases there's like 3 or 4 hour drives between parks and stuff. So it's a big challenge, but it's one that we are absolutely loving.
Yeah, and it's looking really popular online on social media when you're putting the question out there on who might be interested. It looks like there's a really big handful of people interested, because it's a daunting thing to potentially do by yourself. You know, it's easy to book a trip to Orlando where you've literally just, you know, you go to one hotel and you've got 9 theme parks on your doorstep, or California where you've got a few Disney parks and, you know, Hollywood Studios. But when it comes to, you know, going thousands of miles around the country and lots of different parks, lots of different hotels, different travel, that's daunting, you know, just to do for yourself and your family, never mind you doing it for a bunch of people. So, yeah, there's a lot of weight on your shoulders there.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad it's not just me doing it, but confident that we can do it. I am confident that we can do it. We've done group trips to, like, we've done small group trips to America where there's been like 10 of us, but this trip will be more along the lines of around 50 people,
Wow.
which is going to be a big challenge. But like I say, I'm really confident we can do it. We've just got to be well organized, which I think that's one of the things that we definitely are with events. We're always well organized, and
Yeah.
there's plenty of us that oversee things. I get a lot of help from Mike and Mark in the background. They tend not to take any credit for it, but they should,
Oh, bless them.
because
They help out more than they
Mike
let
does.
on.
Yeah, Mike does all. Yeah, definitely. I mean, Mike does all the head counts because I'm useless at counting people when they're walking around. And then Mark does a lot of the chatting to people whilst I might be talking to a park or dealing with something that perhaps is not being seen as something that would be have to be done at the event.
Yeah.
But Mark's really good for chatting to people who may be on their first event, or just generally helping me out in the background. It's something I will say as well, is a lot of people do say to me, but I don't want to be a loner, I don't want to come on my own. A great example of this is Mark, who 3 years ago came on his first ever event with us to Tato Park.
Yeah.
He's done every trip with us since,
Yeah.
and he's now, as you've probably seen, he's
It's
in 90% of the PB videos now,
yeah.
and he is a very close friend to me and Mike.
Yeah.
Whereas 3 years ago, we didn't really know Mark.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people do ask me, oh, will I be all right coming on my own? And I always say that people do make friends for life on the events.
Definitely, yeah. And it's such a nice community to be a part of. I mean, I'm quite a fan of the enthusiast community anyway. I know it has its ups and downs, we all do, but overall I love it. And having your PBE meets, it's just a even closer knit community within that community. So it's got to have a great vibe. Everyone's got to have a great time. And I think I should come on some myself because they look bloody good fun.
Yeah, you definitely should. You'd be most
I
welcome.
appreciate that, definitely.
I think it's the same for everyone, though. Everyone is welcome. And one of the things that, like I say, it's difficult if you're like, oh, I'm not so sure, I don't want to go on my own, I don't know anyone. But it is a great way to get to know new friends and enthusiast friends, and before you know it, you'll be completely skint because you'll be going all over the world with those new friends.
That is the problem for us, like, isn't it? It's the fact that theme park holidays aren't necessarily the cheapest holidays, are they?
Oh, and they're not really holidays either.
Well, that's it. You come back home needing a holiday. So it's
Yeah, pretty much.
counterproductive, but we have a great good time at least. I wouldn't change it for the world. I keep saying to Hannah, we'll go on a summer holiday again. And the last time I said that was last year, and the last time we actually went on one was 2011. So we theme park holidays is where it's at, definitely.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the first time I've been away with the PBE lot really was to Tenerife recently, and it was the first time we've not done a theme park on a holiday ever when we've gone on a holiday together. So it was a bit weird really. Like, I've been going on trips with Mike since like 2010, and it's the first time we've done a trip where we've not gone on a roller coaster. Of course, we went on the slides, but we had a holiday as well. We spent a lot of time just looking at the swimming pool and going, yeah, it looks nice, but the sun's even nicer, so I'm not moving.
So I'm not getting in it.
So yeah, it was good.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, so I mean, let's talk a little bit about. Obviously, you do some Euro trips. You're planning an American trip as well. Have you got any past trips that stood out for you? Whether it be as part of the big group or personally, any great memories? Why the parks and why those times that are best for you?
I think last year in June was a big one because we went over to Cedar Point, not as a club event, but we did a couple of parks as well. We did Coney Island, Six Flags Great Adventure, Kennywood, Kings Island, and Cedar Point. And it was just amazing to do all those parks in one trip. And especially as there was only about three of us who'd been to America before as well. And it was introducing the newbies to America to the way that they operate their parks, and just the general sort of lifestyle in America. It's just, I love it because you go from state to state and it's just completely different. I mean, it's like up in England, it's you go between cities and it's generally the same kind of thing, just with different accents. Whereas you go from state to state in America, and it's like being in different worlds. It's just like Coney Island is so different to, as an example, going to Cedar Point. They're just completely different sort of environments, and it's just nice. But that is definitely a standout trip for me. It was just great parks, great company. I had a great time, but my feet were dead by the end.
You need
it.
Some good footwear on these holidays, don't you? You need some extra insoles,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Crikey. So, and is there anything that that's coming up that you're most excited about, whether it be UK or the American theme park trip? What's really, or is it something beyond that as well, something that you haven't planned that you potentially want to plan? What do you see for the future of PBE?
Well, we're going back to Cedar Point again, similar trip to last year, which, again, we've got newbies coming, so for me that is a big part of the enjoyment, seeing their reaction to riding stuff like Top Thrill Dragster.
Yeah. But
I'm hoping that I can squeeze in a visit to Busch Gardens to do Ayin Gwazi.
But
as everyone will know, getting to Florida is not cheap. So yeah,
definitely.
We'll see how it goes. And it might be one for next year, that.
Yeah, definitely. It's looking stunning, though, isn't it?
It looks incredible, but that is going to be a fire smasher, 100%.
Oh, yeah, definitely. With some of those turns and, like, top hat style, it's going to be... I've never actually been on an RMC, so I don't know what any of them are like yet, but I can just imagine watching the test footage, but, yeah, your thighs are going to get crushed on that one, definitely. Definitely. So
yeah, it's weird because... Go on, sorry.
No, go on, carry on.
I was going to say, Steel Vengeance is an absolute fire smasher, whereas Untamed isn't. So it will be interesting to see where it sits in between. But I would imagine it'll be like Steel Vengeance, to be honest.
Yeah.
I can see it being a bit of a beat-you-up kind of coaster, but an amazing coaster as well.
Yeah, so it's worth the pain.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, maybe once or twice. Maybe not to whore it out, but once or twice in the morning, once or twice in the evening, definitely. So let's bring it back to...
Yeah,
I'm going to say your home park, but obviously it's not the one closest, but your main park is Pleasure Beach Experience. Pleasure Beach, the park.
Yeah.
Which rides there would you say that you appreciate the most, or which one's your favourite? Have you got any... I mean, everyone hates on Infusion because they say it's so rough, and then... Everyone owns the big ones, a monorail, or what? You know, have you got
I'm
any?
Not
have you got?
I'm not having.
Well,
that.
Exactly. I love the big one. I love going on the big one. But then people are saying that Icon is too slow, or Icon was the best thing since sliced bread. There's so many. I find not contradictions, but a difference of opinions when it comes to the Pleasure Beach. So I want to hear your opinions on Pleasure Beach, because I love the place.
So firstly, Icon is... I think Icon being slow is a bit of a myth, because I think it's either the second or third fastest coaster at Pleasure Beach.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not slow. Big One is a tricky one, because I kind of get where people are coming from about it being a monorail when they're saying, the views are great, it doesn't do anything. But I think to say it's just a monorail is unfair. I think it does a lot more than just the first drop it is. It's very subjective with the weather. I mean, if you go when it's windy, it's obviously not going to be very good. But if you go when it's a clear day, it is a great coaster. The first drop's the best first drop on any UK coaster for me.
Yeah,
the turnaround's great. The return leg is not brilliant because it doesn't have the airtime that it should have.
Yeah.
And that was a design fault not through Pleasure Beach, but more through not having Arrow Dynamics build the track.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I still really, really like it. For me, that's my favourite coaster there.
Yeah, it's a
great
one.
I wish they sort the Grand National out. I don't like the Grand National anymore. Too rough.
Yeah, very rough. It looks a stain.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. But this is coming from someone that absolutely loved that ride back in the day, but it's just not for me now. Big Dipper's getting a bit on the rough side, but I do really like that.
Yeah.
That's probably my third favourite there. I'd say Big One's first, Icon second.
Mm-hmm.
Icon's a tricky one at the minute because I went on it too often when it first opened, and I went on it too often at the start of last year,
so I've
really killed the enjoyment.
Yes,
so what I need to do is do it once a visit and just leave it alone for a while, and then say towards the end of this season, I might start really enjoying it again.
Yeah.
But I think I just did it too often when it first opened, and I probably did 3 years worth of rides on it between it opening and early last summer. Yeah. So I just don't enjoy it as much at the minute, but I still think it's probably the second best there.
Yeah.
Then I'd say Big Dipper. After that, it gets difficult. I don't dislike Infusion. I just don't like it when it's cold. That might sound weird.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I don't like it when it's windy. I like Avalanche. I think it's cool that they've got a bobsled sort of coaster. You know, you don't get many of those in the UK now or in Europe anymore. So it's cool that they got one of those. I like the old school Ghost Train, and it was a shame it wasn't open opening weekend. But I've heard that it's got some new effects in it now.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out this weekend. I've not been for about 2 weeks, which is quite weird for me, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going Saturday and Sunday, taking the little boy on Saturday while Becca works, and then on Sunday going with Mike and Mark. So hopefully we'll get a chance to do it at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
It would be nice to do it.
Yeah.
Just trying to think what else I could say about Pleasure Beach. I think this thing with Valhalla, this is going to be controversial.
Yeah,
we need. But I'd have got rid of it.
You would have got rid of Valhalla.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd have got rid of it.
People have just switched off. That's it. They've took off their earphones.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They've thrown them in the bin. Why would you bin it?
I don't get the hype for it. I know that 20 years ago it was amazing.
Yeah.
The effects were amazing. It was an amazing ride. But it costs them so much to run that I do hope that with it being redone, I hope that they turn the water down, and I hope they make it cheaper for themselves to operate.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people will say, yeah, but they make loads of money on selling ponchos, which they do.
Not enough.
I'd have just changed it completely, but I know the money's not there, so I think they're probably doing the right thing. But if we were playing Planet Coaster, I'd be like, get rid of it.
Wow.
But I don't know, a lot of people will agree with that.
Well, I mean, I can see arguments from both sides, because there's the fact that, one, it is too wet. And I know a water ride's a water ride, but like that, there's been times where I'm having to rock the boat a little bit, like the opposite way, because it's going to sink if I stay where it is, you know. there has been a few boat sinkages. You do get off, literally, you may as well have just gone in for a swim, because that is how wet you get. And in Blackpool in the summer, it's not even that hot. So, you know, it's too wet. And the rides are so inconsistent because they cram so many old school style effects in that, you know, you just can't keep them all working over the years. So they're inconsistent. Sometimes you see a ring effect, sometimes you don't. Sometimes there's fire cannon, sometimes there's not, and it is inconsistent. It is too wet, and it is now, I guess, dated. Although it is a quality ride, it is. You look at that compared to, you know, all the new dark rides we've seen. I know it's a bit unfair to compare it to the rest of the UK, but you know, in Europe and in America, dark rides are just really breaking boundaries. So I can kind of see what you're saying in the fact that it's not that amazing.
No, it's never. I mean, I can see that why people love it. I can see why it's what it was. But for me personally, it's not one of my favourites. And I think I went about 3 years without riding it until this season, because I just couldn't be bothered with it.
Yeah.
So I'd rather go on the Log Flume. I know it's gone, but I'd rather go.
You know
on the Log
what?
Flume.
I saw the post the other day with the photo of it, and that was a blooming good Log Flume. That was.
It was. It was so
good. Infusion is now. Yeah, that was. That's a shame that they did that. To be fair. What would you? Let's finish it off on Valhalla then, and then we'll let everyone know how they can contact yourselves and PBE. But obviously, we both know that it's not going, and it is just having either a refurb or a sparkle or whatever they want to call it. What do you think that they're going to do, and do you agree with it, and what would you do if different?
So it's a bit like NASA at the minute. Nobody really knows much about it, but I think that they're probably going to reduce the water levels. I think they're going to make it cheaper. I do think they're going to make it cheaper to operate. Yeah. I think it makes perfect sense. There's no point in it costing so much money to run, especially if that money could be put on, say, I don't know, fixing up the Grand National, fixing up the Big Dipper, to keep them going for even longer as well. I don't know. I think they might reduce the capacity as well if it comes into the cost cutting, because a lot of the boats, like you say, were sinking. So they're either going to have to buy a lot of new boats or fix them all. So maybe they'll just, I don't know, they might preserve 10 of them and keep 10 of them. I don't really know. Honestly, I really don't know. Obviously, I was very wrong in saying that it wasn't going to be closed this year, so I'm being careful not to get any predictions like really wrong with Valhalla again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm quite happy to admit that I was wrong on that. It was one source against the other, and one of them was right. I was quite happy to admit I was wrong at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the first time I've had the wrong info out of Pleasure Beach in about 15 years. I was just like, wow, this is a weird feeling. But yeah,
definitely.
But yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just want them to make sure that it's still a decent ride for people who like it, but without breaking the bank.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I really do think that turning the water down, like of how wet you get, would be the first thing, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need all the extra bits of water. Just keep the water from the two drops. That's it, really, isn't it? You know, just have the two drops. They're great drops. Just don't have the extra splashes of it here, there, and anywhere.
Yeah,
and I'd like them. The big time. It was just falling right into the boat, you know. So it's far too wet. And then maybe just the use of a bit of projection mapping. It's not the cheapest thing in the world, but it's not overly expensive. It's very much reliable most of the time. It can really change a room. Like, you can have just an empty room and make it look amazing with projection mapping. So I'm really hoping a little bit of modern technology, which is just better for, and not breaking the bank, be a good route for him to go down.
Definitely. I mean, there is rumors that Mac might be involved, but I've not seen anything to suggest that, so that's just rumors at this point. But yeah, I think the next couple of years at Pleasure Beach, I think we can forget about new rides. I think a lot of it's going to be infrastructure. I can see a couple of rides maybe either going or being moved around.
Mm-hmm.
There's the dome area, which has now been completely emptied, so something's going to change there.
Yeah,
I still think the bowler drone area, the big arcade, I think that's going to go at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
It just seems very temporary what they've done with it. But again, could be wrong on that. And I know I'm going to upset a couple of Pleasure Beach fans, and I don't like to do it, but I just don't see Steeplechase being here in the next couple of years. I just can't see it.
Especially when it comes to... I'm not saying at all that the ride is unsafe or anything like that, but you can see with health and safety going mad that they're only... It's going to have the mouse effect, isn't it, really?
That's the thing. Pleasure Beach did everything to keep the wild mouse going, and it just got to the point where they just couldn't justify the cost of how much it was going to cost to keep it going.
Yeah.
And every time they did something to satisfy health and safety, whether it be new brakes, new seatbelts, new wheels, new this, every time they did what they were asked, they then got told, oh, you need to do this as well. You need to do that. You need to do this. Mm-hmm. And it was like when you take an old car for an MOT.
Yeah.
And they find one thing and then they say, oh, yeah, we've done that, but we found this now.
Yeah.
And it was just a pain in the ass for them, to be honest. That's the biggest thing I could say, really, on it.
Yeah, so it does make sense to get rid of it. It's a shame, but, you know, like you say, just like an old car, they only last so long before it costs too much to... It's costing you more to run it than it is to enjoy it, which is the same effect as Valhalla, I guess, as well, really, when you look at it.
Yeah.
Longevity wasn't in mind 20 years ago at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, was it?
No, not really, because you think about it, whatever they did back then was for paper ride. It was, what can we make money with? Yeah. What can we build? What will make money? And what can we make money off that we'll build the next ride? And there was actually talk that Traumatize the Witches, and obviously now Infusion, was originally bought for Pleasure Beach, but they had no space. That's why it ended up at Southport. Right. I don't know how true that is, because I was only like nine, ten at the time. But yeah, there's a lot of talk that that was originally, or was always bought with it in mind that, yeah, it will go to Pleasure Beach. And there was talk at one point that where Icon is, is where that was earmarked for without the log flume going. So,
oh, wow, okay. We could have been looking at a very different Pleasure Beach.
Yeah, can you imagine that? That it just seems a bit weird when you think about it. But, and there was talk it was going to be called Pepsi Max Flipped.
Oh, God.
I know. That would have been shocking.
Yeah. Oh, Flipped. Oh, God. Yeah. That's there's a good decision made not to do that Pleasure Beach, definitely.
You can tell that that wasn't Amanda's idea.
Definitely. I mean, I've really enjoyed chatting to you, Scott. First of all, thank you very much for coming on. Really, really do appreciate it. But if anyone's listening and they haven't been able to find you guys before, whether or not you for the first time, or they're finding out that you do other stuff other than vlogs and updates, what's the best way to see what PB are doing, either on social media or on YouTube?
So we're always active on Facebook, but I would recommend checking out the website, which is pleasurebeachexperience.com. It's got a link to the events, YouTube, and just generally gives you a good background of what PB is doing.
Awesome. Scott from Pleasure Beach Experience, thanks so much for coming on to Coast Track. Really appreciate it. And I'll see you when the park's open.
Yeah, thank you very much for asking. I've really enjoyed this.
Awesome. Cheers, buddy.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Coast Track podcast.
So there we go, guys. First of all, a huge thank you to Scott for taking time out when we were all busy at work and dealing with life and potentially getting in those last few toilet papers before this coronavirus really has started taking effect. But we really appreciate him coming onto the show. It's great to chat to him, and I look forward to seeing him at the parks when they do eventually open. And moving forwards, guys, this is where I need your help. You can obviously support us over on social media, and I'm sure we are all on social media all throughout the day. Take a break from coronavirus, take a break from the news, listen to a podcast, watch a YouTube video, watch telly, watch a film, play a game, do a striptease, anything you want, just to keep us all insane indoors. And if you're at work, once again, like I said at the beginning of the episode, a huge thank you for helping support the nation in this awkward time. But that means there's plenty of time for more collaborations. Are you guys at scare actors? Do you run a horn? Are you working at theme parks that are currently closed at the minute and want to talk about that? Do you want to talk about your podcast, your YouTube channel, your attraction? Absolutely anything, guys. Join us here on Scare Track and Coaster Track whilst we do loads of collabs throughout the next few weeks, maybe even months. You can email us info@scaretrack.co.uk. That's info@scaretrack.co.uk. And of course, join us on social media. You can join us on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for Scare Track. We're also on Patreon, and Patreon has now got a brand new Facebook page. So if you join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/scaretrack, you will be invited to join the exclusive Facebook page where you'll get extra content on there, lots of chats, loads of stuff over happening on our new Facebook page for Patreon supporters. It's only $5 or $10, which is like £4 or £8, so it's not too much, and it really does help us support the show and help us keep going, and help us pay for it actually to be uploaded to the likes of iTunes and Spotify. It really does help us. So guys, a huge thank you for supporting us so far. Remember to like, rate, subscribe, comment, anything you can do to help us out. We've had a few new videos go up over on our YouTube channel as well, so youtube.com/scaretrack. Remember to click subscribe and click that bell notification so you are notified as soon as a new video goes up online. That's enough waffling from me. A huge thank you once again to Scott for coming on to this episode of Coaster Track, and thank you to you guys for listening to our content and join us here at Scare Track and Coaster Track. I'll see you on the next episode.